With Laura Fox
Podcast.
Now, even in 2024, from a young age, girls learn that crying is okay, but shouting isn't. And boys learn the opposite, and surprise, surprise, it's not good for either of them. One woman who has seen the results of that is psychotherapist Jennifer Cox, who joins me now. The title of Jennifer's new book is a strong hint. It's called Women Are Angry, Why Your Rage Is Hiding and How to Let It Out. Hi, Jennifer. You're very welcome along to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
How are you keeping?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, not too angry.
Yeah? Did you get it all out before we came on?
I've managed to get it all out.
Amazing. Okay, well, let's talk about this, right? Because the figures from global surveys back up the idea that women are angrier now than they ever used to be. How on earth does that translate into the lives of your patients?
Yeah. So, I mean, how it translates really sadly is often just through terrible mental health. So all kinds of different conditions, from anxiety to depression to burnout. And often what I also see is people coming in with physical symptoms, so migraines, stomach problems, you know, aches and pains, it's all related. And what I find is that once you start lifting the lid on what's really going on, it's anger that is tumbling out. And once that starts to happen, and once they start to express this, they feel so much better.
So we're actually being affected mentally and physically by not just having a little scream every now and again.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Oh, God, if only it was that easy. Well, clearly it is. Where does
it
the idea...
It can be.
It can be, all right. Well, where does the idea that women need to suppress anger come from?
I think we all grew up and continue to grow up. I don't think it's changed. You know, I think the little girls of today, it's exactly the same. We're meant to be nice, kind, polite, thoughtful, you know, sweet. I think the whole hashtag be kind thing is doing us a major disservice.
Yeah.
And I think basically there isn't a language around anger in little girls, just like there isn't a language around, you know, sadness and vulnerability for little boys. So I think there's this real divide that starts to come in. Like, even before we're born, you know, we kind of get born into these ideas, even before we kind of begin our lives. And I think this is what's setting us up, you know, really badly for basically then how society kind of exploits those tendencies in us. So we're told as little girls, we have to care for people. We have to be, you know, very sweet and thoughtful. And then I think what happens is as we get older, society kind of hijacks that care pathway and exploits it and makes sure that we're not only then looking after, you know, our siblings when we're small, we look after our children, maybe other people's children, our parents as we get older and they get older. I mean, the amount of patients I have, women patients who have brothers who aren't expected to fulfill these caring duties at all. And, you know, we know that it's the schools that phone the mum when, you know, the kid needs to come home because they've, you know, got a tummy ache or whatever. And the mum might have as important and kind of senior and responsible a job as the dad. But nonetheless, it's mum who gets the call.
Yeah, and I mean, you are right. Every household has come up against this. I think this was where I got most of my rage out when I was younger. I was like, well, my brother doesn't have to do it. I'm not doing it. And it was just always the bar for me. You really and truly, you want women to be able to release their rage, but you're fighting against human nature, essentially, after everything you're describing there.
I'm fighting against, I think, how we're socialized.
Yeah.
Because actually, the differences in our brains when we're born are absolutely negligible. The differences start to come when we're socialized and when girls are given little pink dollies and boys are given, you know, trucks and Lego. And I think this is where, you know, everything starts to kick off. Mm. But school also doesn't help. The boys get, you know, the whole playground to play football in, and the girls have a little corner that they can chat in. And, you know, so their social skills get really good, but they also get really good at kind of being a bit nasty to each other and starting to be a bit catty and bitchy, because that's how their aggression comes out. That's the only way we know and we're allowed to release it. Whereas the boys, you see it like the rough and tumble, and they kind of are exempt from all of these, like, you know, more emotional sorts of situations, which we're just suckered into as girls and which drain our energy. So then when we're thinking about, okay, what do we want to do with our lives? We'll probably go into the caring professions. That makes sense because we know how to do those. And so those divisions still exist. You know, we know that in STEM subjects, like, girls are still a minority. And I think this, you know, the way that academia kind of also ends up playing along with these emotional rules is just pretty tragic. And then we see that in, you know, the world of work, where the gender pay gap is still very, very real. And I suppose what I'm seeing in clinic is the physical and mental repercussions of this. And actually, on top of the, you know, these inequalities that are still very much there, even though there are lots of token policies that, you know, make it sound like they're not, the lived experience of women is that, you know, they're alive and kicking. But not only that, they also have to look after everybody. So we're sandwiched between, you know, these kind of maybe quite high flying careers that we've managed to claw ourselves into, even though we're getting paid much less. But we're also having to, pick up the kid with nits and maybe look after an aging parent on the side. So is this sandwiching, you know, that I think I really just want this to be different for young girls coming through. And the more young girls are aware, I think, of sort of what is currently happening, the more we can start to have conversations with each other and with schools and with, you know, service providers to try to, you know, get change happening.
Jennifer, your book covers every single stage of a woman's life. And I know you've gone through a lot of it there. You talked about, you know, being in the schoolyard and, you know, learning nearly passive aggression and how that kind of comes out and how that can make you angry right up into the workforce. But can we please start with, because you've got answers for this, can we talk about the daily plan? What is it and how can it help women unleash their anger?
Yes. Okay. So the daily plan is, I think a lot of it revolves around, let's keep our phones away. I know that's going to be like hideous to most people, including myself. I mean, we're all addicted. But if we could try to stay off the phones for as long as we can of a morning and just tune in. So listen to ourselves, do a little body scan, like see what you're feeling and where you're feeling it. Because I think we need to get better at understanding our emotions and where they sit in our bodies. Yeah. Like, primary schools are getting better at helping kids kind of articulate what they're feeling, but lots of us didn't have that, and lots of primary schools aren't doing that. So I think we need to sort of do it for ourselves at this point. And the better we can get at kind of actually working out what it is we're feeling in our bodies and in our minds, the better we get at working out what we need and working out ways of sort of finding words for those feelings. So it can be really basic. But, you know, our feelings shift throughout a day. So like in this hour, I'm happy. In this hour, I'm feeling a bit nervous. In this hour, I'm feeling a bit sad. Here, I'm feeling excited. Let's just start tuning in and spend more time with ourselves in our own bodies and minds and figuring that out. Because the clearer we can get on that, the clearer we can start to be when we're telling other people how we feel and what we need. And I think, honestly, starting to say no more is massive. So I've got a podcast called Women Are Mad, and we interview loads of amazing people. We just had Jamila Jamil on, and she said microdosing rebellion is like what she tries to do and what she encourages women around her to do. So, you know, I would interpret that as like, just starting to hold your ground a bit more. Listen to what you're feeling. Do you really want to do this?
Yeah.
And if not, say no. I don't want to, thanks.
Yeah, I think as well, I know that a lot of people suffer from it as well, where you feel the need to explain yourself, but no is a full sentence. And learning that is just so quick. You're just going, no, sorry, I can't. Done. And
I like that. No is a full sentence.
Yeah, yeah, you don't have the mental load then of over-explaining yourself to the point that, because I always think if you're explaining, you're losing. So
totally. You know, don't apologise, don't explain.
Yeah, yeah, just not doing it. Talk to me about stay in repair. What does that mean?
So, okay, the really important thing, I think, is to know that the chemicals that, you know, make us feel stressed, like adrenaline, cortisol, we need to sort of discharge them so that we can, our brains can come back online and we can actually have proper, helpful conversations about what it is that we're feeling and what we need. So this is where I suggest that people, when they've been in a really stressful situation or something that's kind of really feeling overwhelming, leave it, go to the loo, go wherever and do some star jumps, run on the spot, get it out of your body, get those chemicals like moving through and leaving your brain more available to transmit what would be most useful to you. So once those kind of overwhelming feelings are out, we can actually start to kind of listen in again to what we're feeling and what we need. That is about the going back into the room, however uncomfortable it feels and however much your body is kind of screaming, oh God, no, I can't do this. I can't have this uncomfortable conversation about, you know, how I want to be paid more or it's not fair that, you know, my brother is always made to, is never made to do the washing up, for example. Like, how has it come to be that it's all landing on me? And you want to be able to have a really just ordinary conversation about that without sounding kind of
emotional because it's been building up for so long. But okay, so you say this, right? Like, get it, physically get it out, you know, get your body moving a little bit. But you say that it's very important to stay in the room, especially at work.
Yeah. Because I think as women, we often have a kind of flight or freeze reflex when it comes to conflict or when it comes to a situation that, you know, feels uncomfortable. Obviously, for our kind of physical safety, we often just feel this pull to get out or to sort of play dead. And that's what we really need to sort of to overcome in ourselves, actually. I mean, obviously, we are physically at risk. We can be physically at risk because we're, you know, we're smaller than men. And if they become aggressive, we need to get out. But if that isn't the situation, and literally what we're dealing with is something that is much more, you know, at a kind of mental level than a physical one, then we need to be able to teach ourselves that we're not actually under threat and that we can hold the eye contact and see the conversation through to the end. You know, keep asking for what you want. And if it's pushed back, that doesn't mean you shouldn't keep asking for it. That doesn't mean it's wrong.
Yeah. Ask again, because, you know, stay asking until you get what you need. It's kind of a
Exactly. And also talk to other women and see how they're experiencing it. Like, often when we come together and decide, you know, we need this to change, we're much stronger.
Jennifer, it is a very serious topic, right? But there are some great fun ways to let out that rage. Give me two of your favorites.
One of my favorites is getting in the car and sealing up the windows and driving somewhere quite remote and screaming. That just is absolute bliss. Knowing that, you know, you're not hurting anyone, you're not embarrassing yourself. It's all, you know, undercover of maybe even darkness. And you're safe. That's the other point, isn't it, in your car? And I think another way is like hitting something. I think like a pile of coats or a mattress and like whacking it, even cushions, like either with your fist, like pommel or like a bat, just whacking, because basically you need to sort of, this is energy, like this is negative energy in our bodies. And if we can kind of get it out and convert it onto another surface, then it's gone from us. It's not in us anymore. So I really recommend like, fast, hard, explosive movements, especially ones which involve maybe some impact.
There's any amount of boxer size classes around the country here that people can definitely get involved in. Yeah, just whack it all out, leave it at the door, and you've got a workout done at the same time. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me today. That is Jennifer Cox in her new book, Women Are Angry, Why Your Rage is Hiding and How to Let It Out, is out now. We'll be right back after these.
FM with Laura Fox.
Podcast.